WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The computer terminals we write on, the electric blankets that warm our beds in winter, and the high current power lines that distribute our electricity may be hazardous to our health. The electromagnetic fields they emit are the subject of one of today's biggest health controversies. Some scientists say that prolonged exposure to these electromagnetic fields can cause cancer. My guest, Paul Broder, warns that power lines and computer terminals are threatening our health. This is the subject of his latest book, Currents of Death, and his recent articles in the New Yorker magazine, where he's a staff writer. Broder says that the utility companies, the electronics industry, and the federal government are downplaying research that shows the link between electromagnetic fields and cancer. A little later, we'll talk with Dr. William Farland of the Environmental Protection Agency. Although Broder urges us to protect ourselves from exposure to electromagnetic fields, he says most household appliances pose no risk in this area.
The only home appliances that are really hazardous to any degree are electric blankets and electrically heated waterbeds. Other than that, one's home appliances aren't dangerous, and the main reason is that the magnetic fields fall off very sharply with distance from almost any home appliance, such as a hairdryer. But even more important than that, you don't hang out 8 hours a day with your hairdryer. And it's always chronic, long-term exposure that creates environmental disease, so that if you live in a home near a high current power line or near a high voltage power line, if you sleep under an electric blanket, if you stay too close to a video display terminal, you're getting exposure to the magnetic field for a long period of time. That's what causes disease.
Let's stick with electric blankets for a moment. What kind of emissions do electric blankets give off?
Well, an electric blanket, just the same way an electric power line, gives off an electric and a magnetic field. The magnetic field, nothing can shield a magnetic field from either a power line or an electric blanket. It gives off a 60 hertz, that's a 60 times a second alternating current, meaning back and forth, to and fro, magnetic field. This magnetic field will go through anything, go through a shield of lead, go through the human body. If you are in the way of a magnetic field from a power line or an electric blanket, every molecule in your brain and your body is vibrating 60 times a second back and forth. And you don't have to be an electronic wizard or a medical doctor to know that that can't be very good for a child, particularly whose cells are so rapidly dividing. And in fact, it isn't. There are more than 24 studies showing that people who live near high current wires or who work in occupations that require them to be exposed to magnetic fields from power lines and other sources are developing cancer at an extraordinary, significantly higher rate than other people.
Let's talk a little bit about video display terminals, the computer terminals. What kind of electromagnetic field do they give off that you're concerned about?
Well, the video display terminals operate on precisely the same principle that your television set does, the display monitor part of it. And the horizontal deflection coil and the vertical deflection coil give off two frequencies of electric and magnetic fields. The most hazardous of these is the 60 hertz, once again, the same as the power line, the distribution system, except this time it's a pulsed field, which is known to be biologically harmful. And there have been many studies, particularly in Sweden and in Scandinavia, and elsewhere in Scandinavia, showing that the 60 hertz fields, magnetic fields and electric fields emanating from the display monitors of video display terminals pose a grave hazard to the fetuses of test animals. And therefore, this would explain the extraordinary number of miscarriage clusters that have occurred among women who work with these devices.
How is the computer industry reacting to this growing concern?
Well, the computer industry is beginning to react to the reality of the situation. Since my book, which went into the problem very deeply and into the history of it, and an article that I published in July of this year in Macworld magazine. That article was interesting in that Macworld, which services and is designed to service the purchase of Macintosh computers, took the display monitors that are used with Macintosh computers and actually measured on a test bench with the latest state-of-the-art equipment the magnetic fields that are given off by these machines. And they are, as I predicted they would be a year ago, extremely high and extremely hazardous if you sit close to one of these machines. And that's why I recommended a year ago, and why responsible scientists are recommending, that people sit at least an arm's length with fingertips extended from the screen and remain at least 3 to 4 feet from the sides or backs. And this is particularly important in schools in this country, where computer rooms are stacked full of computers, and these little kids are sitting in there with their back squashed right up against the magnetic field coming out of the computer behind them. Poses a grave hazard to these children.
I know when I was young and when televisions were still young, my mother always used to tell me to sit far away from the TV.
That's because back in the 60s, the shunt regulator tubes of your television sets, particularly the early color television sets, were found to be emitting soft X-rays. This is a different problem.
So while we're getting concerned about computer terminals, should we also be concerned about television monitors?
Yes, but once again, you don't sit 12 inches away from your television monitor. Almost everybody, with the exception perhaps of children playing television games, sits at least 3 or 4 feet away from the television set. Whereas, go through an office and look at people who are working with the video display terminals, and you'll see them with their noses right up against the screen a lot of times. So there's a very big difference in the way people position themselves in front of display monitors of computer terminals and in front of the television screen.
But you're saying there's no difference in emissions, only the only difference is in our proximity?
Precisely. Both devices work on exactly the same principle.
You've written extensively about how people's proximity to power stations and high power lines can affect their health. What are some of the dangers that you feel are associated now between proximity to power stations and power lines and health?
The most pervasive hazard in the United States exists in homes and residences that have been built close to either high voltage or high current power lines.
What are high voltage and high current power lines?
When you make electricity at, say, a nuclear plant or wherever, and you want to transport it across the countryside, you push it along high tension wires with high voltage. Now, you couldn't bring that high voltage into a city or a town and into homes. You'd burn them right up. So you have to step down the high voltage at transformer stations. They're called substations, which are located within and outside cities and towns all over the United States. You step down the high voltage and you transform it into current. That's the juice. Current is the juice that lights the lights and powers the appliances. So that the most pervasive hazard in the United States exists in homes that have been built close to high current wires emanating from substations. Now, these are wires that are strung on ordinary telephone poles often, but you can eyeball them and distinguish between them and other wires that are not so dangerous. High current distribution wires are always very thick. They're at least the diameter of a man's thumb or even two thumbs. And they are attached to the crossbars of the telephone pole or to the utility pole with very large glass or porcelain insulators. These wires invariably give off, because they're carrying much current, give off strong magnetic fields. And homes within 100, 150 feet of these wires can expect to have significantly hazardous magnetic fields in them. Whereas the skinny wires, the secondary wires, do not pose a hazard.
What kinds of health problems have you found in the research you've been reading are connected to proximity to power stations and high power lines?
There are, at present, more than 24 studies around the world published in the peer-reviewed medical literature in this country and abroad, many of them in the United States, showing there are three of them that show that children living in homes near high current wires are dying, developing, and or dying of cancer at twice the expected rate. There are an additional 24 studies showing that men whose occupations require them to work in electromagnetic fields, such as electricians, electrical engineers, power linemen, telephone linemen, power station operators, that these men are dying of cancer at extraordinarily high levels. For example, They're dying of leukemia, lymphoma, and brain cancer. Telephone workers in New York City have recently been found. Telephone cable splicers, men who go down in the trenches and up in the poles, have been recently found to be dying of leukemia at 7 times the expected rate. Electric utility workers in a study in Texas done at the MD Anderson Institute, famous place in Houston, have been found to be dying of brain cancer at 13 times the expected rate. And in my recent piece in The New Yorker, I described several places where people had been living near the high current wires emanating from substations. This is where the wires are carrying the most current and therefore giving off the strongest magnetic fields. And these people, in one case, children in a school in Montecito, California, are developing leukemia at an extraordinary rate. 7 children in a school of only 200 pupils have developed leukemia, and now one of the teachers in the kindergarten has developed brain cancer since I wrote the piece. So this is a very serious problem because there are schools all over the nation that have been built in the vicinity of power lines for the simple reason that land is cheap there. It's not desirable, so towns interested in saving money have built their schools there. And I have an article coming out in Family Circle next month which will describe this hazard in greater detail.
These high power lines and power stations are not new. Why is it that it's now that the issue of proximity to power stations is becoming so controversial?
Well, that's a good question. First of all, it was only about 20, 25 years ago that the first studies came out of Europe, the Soviet Union and Spain, suggesting that power station operators were experiencing central nervous system problems. And secondly, there's been a very big change in our electrical distribution system over the last 20 or 30 years. Because of the extraordinary increase in homes and in electrical appliances within homes, the power lines that used to exist, for example, on the street that I grew up in here in a suburb of Boston, have been totally altered in the last 15, 20 years, sometimes 2 and 3 times over, to carry more current. Therefore, wires which years ago were strung near homes in suburbs of Boston but didn't pose a problem are now posing a hazard because they are carrying an extraordinary increased current and therefore giving off much stronger magnetic fields. And this is happening, of course, all over the United States.
What does the Environmental Protection Agency have to say about proximity to high current power lines?
The Environmental Protection Agency had a major program going in the early 1980s, and it was killed by the budget cuts imposed by the Reagan administration. Earlier this year, in March to be precise, staff scientists for the Environmental Protection Agency wrote a draft report recommending that the magnetic fields from power lines be considered a B1, that means a probable human carcinogen, which would have implemented a whole set of rules and regulations designed to protect the public health. A funny thing happened to this draft report after a meeting at the Bush administration White House. The EPA downgraded the assessment of probable carcinogen to possible carcinogen. But the fact that the EPA has finally, even if belatedly, admitted that the magnetic fields from power lines are a possible carcinogen poses is very, very disturbing for the public health across this nation, because not just tens, not even hundreds of thousands, but probably millions of people live close to high current or high voltage lines.
What is the official meaning of possible cause of cancer?
Means they want to study it more. In my estimation, it means they want to study it to death the way the government did asbestos, the way the government did the ozone layer. There is plenty of evidence. In fact, there's a massive accumulation of evidence right now which shows that these fields are extremely hazardous and that preventive measures should be undertaken by state and federal health regulatory agencies now to protect children and other people in the general population who are exposed to the magnetic fields from power lines.
Why do you think the Environmental Protection Agency downgraded the original report from probable cause of cancer to possible cause of cancer?
I think it's quite clear that they did so because the administration, as it did with the ozone layer and as it has done with a number of chemical hazards, does not want to address the problem for financial reasons, financial and political reasons.
The Congressional Office of Technology Assessment recently issued a report on the subject of electromagnetic fields. What did they have to say?
Well, if you read the whole report, which is about 100 pages long, I guarantee the hair will rise on the back of your neck. The OTA report tries to be all things to all people, but it comes down saying that, and I'm paraphrasing, but nearly quoting it when I say, it says very early on, we can no longer assume that the electromagnetic radiation emanating from power lines is harmless. And later on, I believe it's on page 77, the OTA report recommends that we undertake a strategy of prudent avoidance, and that's what I call for. Instead of waiting another 10 years, delaying for the convenience of the electric utility industry while thousands of unsuspecting people and children develop cancer in this country, we ought to be taking preventive measures now. That's what the OTA report means by prudent avoidance.
One of the things that you have been criticized for is for making the issue seem like a simple yes or no. You know, like it is all bad, and a lot of your critics say that the information just isn't in yet.
Well, now, you know, I don't really know how to answer that question. I don't think I've made it yes or no. I think I have talked about, which is what my critics are mostly the electric utility industry. Have you ever seen an electric bill that describes anything about this problem to any consumer anywhere in the United States? I'll answer that. You never have. And the same by the same token that, you know, if you could, I suppose, say that asbestos, you could give it a yes or no. I wouldn't want to breathe a single unnecessary asbestos fiber myself. And if that means yes or no, well, then perhaps I'm guilty of that. I was the first journalist in the United States who warned the American public 22 years ago about the hazards of asbestos. And I think we saw what happened. Industry came along, the asbestos industry, they said that I was an alarmist, that I was a sensation, that I was a yes or no man, and that there were safe ways to use asbestos. Now we know there aren't. So I tell you that I think if people take the time to study the medical literature, they will find that there is a massive accumulation of evidence right now, both epidemiological and experimental, showing that people who either live or work near power lines which give off strong magnetic fields are dying unnecessarily of cancer.
If you're not really sure if you live near a high power line or not, how can you find out for sure? How can you
a high voltage or a high current line is the way to say it. Well, if you are living in a home near one of the very thick wires that I've described, and you think you're near a high current feeder line, or if you live in a home that's very close to a high-voltage transmission line, you can always spot those because they're up in the big steel towers, and you're worried about the strength of the magnetic field in your home, there are people to call all over the nation now. They're springing up in the last year everywhere, who will come to your home with Gauss meters and measure the magnetic field. If you're in doubt about where these people are located, you can call the electrical engineering department of your nearest university. You can try calling your electric utility company. Some utility companies send people out to measure the homes and do it properly.
The Gauss meter measures electromagnetic fields in...
No, a Gauss meter only measures the magnetic field. Gauss is a unit of measure of the magnetic field, and a Gauss meter is a device that measures that magnetic field.
Well, I want to thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Paul Brodeur is a staff writer for the New Yorker magazine and author of the book Currents of Death. To find out what the Environmental Protection Agency has to say about the possible health hazards of electromagnetic fields, I called Dr. William Farland, director of the EPA's Office of Health and Environmental Assessment in the Office of Research and Development. His office did a study to assess the link between electromagnetic fields and cancer. This was a study that Brodeur referred to. The study originally recommended that the fields be classified as probable human carcinogens. This category, which is called B1 at the EPA, requires regulatory action. But that recommendation was deleted from the final draft.
My staff did come in with a first draft recommendation that because one could make a credible argument for a connection between the wiring patterns in some homes and exposure to electromagnetic fields in certain types of cancers, and in the occupational situation, exposure under working conditions and some types of cancer, that perhaps the data, the human data, ought to be considered limited human data, arguing for a causal relationship, and that if you took those data alone, under the agency's classification system, you might classify this as a B1 or probable human carcinogen. The agency's classification system suggests that you use a weight of evidence approach, that you look at the human information, the animal information, mechanistic studies, the nature of what we know about the dose and response relationships and those types of things before you reach those conclusions. On the basis of that type of an approach, my feeling was that you couldn't make that sort of a statement about probability for carcinogenicity without considering those other sorts of things, and those data were weak at this point. They really didn't provide the type of information that I felt would allow us to make a classification. So the decision was that we would not include a classification, that we would make a statement of our conclusions with regard to the data, and then we would ask specifically our peer panel that met in June and our science advisory board, which will meet this fall, to consider this document, what they thought about applying the classification system to this particular case of electromagnetic fields, and then make the decision as to whether or not it ought to be classified under the agency's guidance.
What I'm hearing, and tell me if I'm wrong here, is that the information you have is incomplete.
That's right.
But that the information you have leads you to think that maybe there is a direct relationship between exposure to these electromagnetic fields and cancer, but that there isn't enough information to say for sure. But the information that's in suggests that there's a link.
I would agree that it does suggest a link, and we think that it was extremely important to get that information out to scientific community to see what they thought, to the public, to let them know that this is a database that is developing. I think that really is a good characterization, that there is a link, or there may be a link, but that as of yet, we can't say for certain whether the link exists, and we really don't understand how or why that link may exist. We need to understand that before we can put this risk in perspective.
What advice would you have for us in the meantime about whether or not to sleep with an electric blanket, how close to stay to a video display, a computer terminal, whether or not to buy a house near power lines?
My personal opinion on this, and this is based on the evaluation of the scientific studies that I have seen, would suggest to me that I would not change my lifestyle at this point in time. There are certain things that people can do that doesn't have a tremendous amount of effect on their lifestyle. If you feel personally concerned about this, you might not want to use an electric blanket or think about the positioning of your computer as you're working with it and so on. I am not consciously making those kinds of changes myself, but I think it is important for people to make a decision as to how they feel about it, even if it is just a matter of trying to make them feel that they are, one, doing something to deal with this issue, and two, perhaps eliminating some small additional risk in their environment. But again, personally, I don't feel that people ought to change their lifestyle or spend significant amount of money at this point, because we really don't understand what will decrease the risk. We don't really understand the risk well enough to know whether one exists, and we can't give guidance to say what type of avoidance techniques really would be important.
William Farland is the director of the EPA's Office of Health and Environmental Assessment. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.